So, let's review real quick. And Caroline Collins, I'm going to ask you specifically, what is one thing that we've talked about over the last 3 weeks that Peter has pointed out to us in our passage? Pressure time. Go. Go. Anything? One thing. A little thing? Something small. You can call a lifeline. That's okay.
Jordan Crimm.
She picks you. Ring, we're ringing you. She just rung a friend. What's one thing over the last 3 weeks we've been talking about from 1 Peter? Go.
Oh, okay, wait, I remember.
Well, you just called a friend, so now she's going to answer. Go ahead, Jordan.
The boys and how they're supposed to respect us.
Wow, that's what you got out of that? Okay. What holiness is, yeah. No, that's this whole theme is holiness, so it fits in. All right. All right. Let me help you a little bit, okay? I said that if we dropped a stone into a pond, that it would make rings, right? And we were looking at three different rings. Bump, bump, bump. What were the three rings? Paul. What? Did you say adultery? I don't think so. I can't remember that. It was another class. What? All right, the government is the first ring. What about the government, though, Stephen, that we're talking about? What's in this ring?
Submit.
This big word, submit, how it fits in holiness. And the first is to our government. This side's like a little yakky side over there. Okay, so she's like handing stuff out. Are you having an auction over there? What's going on? She's like, okay. What was the second one?
I don't know the second one, but I know our family.
All right, the one from last week, the most intimate ring that we talked about was family and how submission looks within the family between husbands and wives, and that applies to everybody. All right, who remembers the second ring?
Slaves.
Slaves. What do we kind of like reckon that to, reckon? Yeah.
Like the workplace and like jobs.
Yeah, kind of like our professional lives and where we are in the community. So these three rings, he hits basically every ring of our lives. Hey, what's up? Every ring of our lives, and says pretty much this week, we're going to now go back and look at all three and bring this all together and make one big summary of this whole thing and what submission really should look like, okay, and how that fits into holiness. So look up 1 Peter if you get your Bibles, Fire Station Point people. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're in verse 8, all right? We're going to look at verses 8 to 12. As you're turning there real quick, how many of you guys, in lieu of Christmas coming and it's almost snowy, how many of you guys like the snow?
It's almost snowing. Right.
Wait, not just like. Because half of you who just raised your hand have like seen it on the computer and that's why you like it. How many of you have actually experienced snow? More than last year's Christmas party, Holly, we have, right? We've had enough of snow. No, how many of you guys have actually been in snow and got to like do stuff? All right, quite a few of you. How many of you have seen snow in Florida? There's a lot of you. I seriously need to get out of my house more. I've never seen snow. Well, do you like sledding? Does anybody like to go sledding?
Yes.
All right. Well, I have a sledding story for you. All right. I was in North Carolina. I was up snowboarding. Sweet. I can't do it. My butt looked like a raspberry by the time I was done. I fell so many times. It was horrible. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, you do. I've told that story. Well, I'm in North Carolina. I'm up on this, in this cabin that's like up on this big tall hill. And the only place really to sled around there was right behind the cabin, and it was the most amazing hill you've ever seen in your life. It went like almost straight down, and it was just huge. It was amazing. It was like glistening in the sun, calling, beckoning to us to like go throw ourselves, hurl ourselves down this side of the hill high. And so what we did was, because we had no sleds, what do you think we used? Trash can lids. Everyone needs to know that to be a successful human being. So we took these trash can lids, you know, like the metal ones, so they're really sturdy and don't break on you, because once I was on one and I hit something like a rock and it disintegrated, and then I just was on my butt. It was weird. But anyway, yeah, it disintegrated. So I learned and used metal trash can lids, and we popped a hole in it like in the top of like a screwdriver, and we put, well, let me tell you this first so you understand what I'm doing. We went to the bottom of the hill, and at the very bottom of this hill, bottom in quotes, we found that there was no bottom. And it actually, at the end, was just this cliff that dropped off, I would say like 10 to 15 feet, straight down into like rocks. It was like this creek that went by. And we're thinking, there's nowhere else around here to go sledding. We're going to make this happen. So we took our trash can lids, we popped a hole in it with a screwdriver, and we took a rope. And we tied to it, and then we tied it to a tree. And they're like, the plan is that I'm going to hurl myself off the side of this hill, and as I get near the bottom, the rope will catch me, it will stop me, and then I'll be safe, and I'll still get it. And on top of that, I can use the rope to pull myself back up. It's perfect. I'm lazy. It's awesome. It's going to work. So I go, and I throw myself, right over the side. It's amazing. I feel like Superman. I'm gliding. It works. It's the most beautiful thing. You fall a little at the end, but it stops you. You go right back up. So we're just tossing ourselves off this hill over and over and over. Well, finally, I grab this thing, and I'm going to do a good one. Like, I'm going to do like a Superman off the side. I'm going to catch a little air, and I'm going to go down. What I didn't realize was when you break a hole in metal, it leaves a sharp ring. And every time you jump over the side, that rope rubs against that sharpness. And so by the time I was up, it had already frayed. It was like that. And I jump and I go right down. And it's beautiful. And I'm having the best ride of my life. I've caught air. I have snow going up my nose. It's awesome. I'm like sliding down. My cheeks are doing this. You know. And then as I get to the point where usually I feel the tension in the rope, I start to feel it. And then I feel none. And then I'm like, what's... Wait a minute. This isn't right. So I hurl myself out of the side of this thing and begin to flip head over heel all the way down, and the whole time screaming, praying to God that I make it and I stop before I get to the end. And luckily I do. I stop right on the edge of that thing and like teeter-totter. Exactly like a movie. It looked like a cartoon. I'm going, and I'm just like hanging there. And so the whole time I'm screaming up to my buddies who are at the top of the hill like, help! And like they're just going, he's gonna fall. It's awesome. Like, get down here. So they get this genius idea that, hey, we'll grab the other one, we'll put another rope in it, tie another rope up, tie it to the tree, and the dude just jumps off to like save my life and be a hero. So he jumps off. Problem. He never measured the rope. It was twice as long as the hill. So as he came down, piling at me, I'm looking up like, is your rope too long? And he's like, oh no! He goes straight over the side of the hill, crashes. It was awesome. Never broke a bone. But the best part, the most like precious part of the whole thing. Precious. The most. Give me a better word. Whatever. All those that you just said, I can't think of a better. Was this? I saw the dude's face like a snapshot when his mind clicked and he was like, oh darn it. I'm messed up now. I'm going over the side. And the whole rest of his way down this hill, you could see his brain is going, tick, tick, tick. How will I get out of this? What will I do so I do not plunge to my death? And he's just like thinking. You could see steam coming out of his ears. It never worked. He never came up with a solution, and he crashed. It was awesome. Yeah, it was great. He didn't get hurt, though, so that was kind of a bummer. But just kidding. We don't want people to get hurt. All right. So as Peter is talking to us, you can kind of imagine the situation as you being on this sled. And halfway down, you realize, oops, my plan is broken. This plan is not going to work. This whole thing is messed up. I'm in the middle of something that needs to be fixed. How am I going to make it through this? Peter's talking about us as believers. We're in the middle of this life. And all around us, it's broken. We have the privilege of having the blood of Christ coming in and fixing us and redeeming us, but we're still on this sled cruising down through a lot of brokenness. And as we look around our lives, we're looking at people and ministering to people and living among people who are still broken. And sin is a reality. And evil stuff still happens. And he's saying, how do you continue to live under the blood of Christ, but in the middle of all this brokenness? And so he talks about submission and holiness and this crazy, extreme love that we're called to have that's just like Christ. And he spends three passages now talking about the same exact thing. As they get in your face and try to hurl evil and insults and do all these unfair things to you, we're supposed to respond with the love of Christ. And that is so hard for us to do as human beings that he has to keep repeating it over and over and over. And I think he does it because it's just that important. Or maybe because sometimes we can be that slow that we just don't get it the first three times. And so finally, after already explaining it three times and hitting this point, he comes back and he says, don't miss this. I'm going to sum it up. I'm going to wrap it up one more time for you. How do you live in a broken world? Let's see how we interact. And he starts off in verse 8 there. Let's read it together. He says, finally, all of you, talk to the slaves and the wives and the citizens. He says, now all of you, every believer, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Wow. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so Peter, as he turns and he's talking to everybody now, every single one of us as believers, he's saying, finally, all of you, let's sum this up, every single last one of us now. This is what we should do as we interact with each other. So he's telling you how to talk to other believers, other people in your youth group, other people in your church, other people around the world who believe in Jesus Christ. This is how we should interact if we claim Christ is ours. If we claim that we belong to him. And then he gives us a list. Now, how many of you guys have made out a Christmas list ever in your life? Christmas list? Some, I had to say in your life because you're like too cool to raise your hand. You know you've made it this year. So I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever. All right? Whatever. Share. Somebody who's comfortable sharing appropriate things from your Christmas list. Will you share with us your list real quick? You want a pony? Can you give us, like, let's say three things from your list?
I wanted a pony. And
a pony?
A dream house when I was little.
And a Barbie dream house?
And
you had to say when you were little.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. It'd be okay if you wanted it now.
And last Christmas, I wanted an iPhone.
And an iPhone. What would you say would be the most important out of those three things on your list?
I wanted a pony pretty bad.
Pony was pretty bad, therefore it is number one on your list.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I like how you think. Jordan, you raise your hand. What are three things... You didn't raise your hand? I'm hallucinating. Sure, just three things from a Christmas list.
No, that wasn't a Christmas list. I already have that.
Gum, lots of gum.
Lots of gum.
Okay.
My camera.
Your camera is a Christmas wish.
This is difficult. Oh, this year I went to
list.
California to see my friends, but I'm not going to do that.
All right. Vacation to California. That's just, okay. That's a stocking stuffing right there, right?
Oh, yeah.
iPhone. All right. What would you say out of those, whatever, four that you just gave me was the most important?
The California thing.
Oh, you just snuck that one, like, just in there.
Yeah.
You're just giving us a... You're all over the place, aren't you?
I'm so...
Somebody who has an actual list that's all one list. Who had a list that they could share with us? Lauren, did you ever have a list? Nobody has a... Thad. Somebody said Thad. Tell me, Thad, what's your list?
I want a bike. I don't like five.
A bike was the first on your list?
This year, I want a Power Ranger. Doll.
This isn't... I need one list. This year.
Action figure.
A what? A bike. Bike, number one.
And I want a snowboard.
A motorcycle. Which would you say is the most important out of those three? Bike, snowboard, motorcycle.
Snowboard,
right in the middle. Wow, you're crazy. All right, this isn't what I thought at all. All right, we have our lists, and usually, depending on your personality, listen to me real quick. Woo, we're all crazy tonight, aren't we? Hey, depending on what kind of personality you have, you're going to put the most important thing on your list in a certain place. All right, some of us, like this young lady, she put it right at the top. She's like, this is the most important thing. I don't want you to miss it. It's number one. Make sure you see this one. If you don't see the rest, that's okay. You don't even have to read on. Like, I'm going to put it at the beginning because I want you to see this, right? But then we have others who are like, if I put it at the end, it'll make the most impact because it's the last thing you read. So if you see it, bam, right there, I'll remember to get that one thing. Now, like, if I were to give out awards tonight, first, second, third place, what order would I give those awards out in? Third, then second, and then first. Why would I do that?
Suspense.
People would leave if I give first place. No one cares about second and third, really. They just first, second losers, right? So they take off. So if I do third first, you wait, and the suspense builds up, and finally, the most important was saved for last. So order is really, really important to us in a lot of ways. Because order tells us what, depending on our personality, is the most important thing we're talking about. Well, in the Hebrew mind, okay, and Peter's a Hebrew as he's writing to us, they did this thing where the most important thing that they would talk about a lot of times would be in the center of what they're talking about. And I'm going to teach you a big seminary word so you can go tell another pastor or your parents, I know a seminary word, all right? Ready? This word, the thing he's doing here, the figure of speech, it's called a Keyism. Everybody say that. Like the car, like a Kia Soul, right? Keyism. All right, so a keyism basically is from the letter key, which in Greek is an X. And look at the shape of this thing. In their minds, they would draw this picture, so as they talk to us, they would tell us this list in the form of an X. You're like, how do you talk in the form of an X? Well, the first thing and the last thing would be related to each other in the list. And then the second thing and the third, I'm sorry, the second and the fourth thing, third thing, I can't count, whatever, you get the next pair in, they would be related, and then the center thing would be the most important thing. So basically, the thing in the center of the X, that's where the target is, that's the most important thing that they're talking about. That's where all the emphasis play, just like our Christmas list, we leave either the last thing for the best or the first. And so as Peter's talking to us, he's using this figure of speech. And so as he goes through this list that we're going to look at right now in the first verse, he points out five things. So we have first pair, second pair, and then the middle thing that we count, which would be the third thing, is the centerpiece of what he's saying here. It's the most important piece. So let's read it real quick. He says, finally, all of you, here's piece number one. Live in harmony with one another. Number two, be sympathetic. Number three, this is our centerpiece right here, the X. This is the most important thing to this whole thing he's saying. Love as brothers. Then number four, he says, be compassionate. And number five, he says, and humble. Why is he giving us a list? What is he trying to describe? Look to the center of the list. What's the most important thing there? Brotherly love. What have we been talking about for the last three circles? This extreme love that we're trying to show to other people even though they can offend us. And so as he talks about brotherly love, now everything around it is going to describe exactly what brotherly love should look like. So let's look at the first one. He says, live in harmony with one another. This actually means have the same mind. How do we have the same mind? Like, that? What do I do? How can we share a mind? Are we born to be like in twins? Huh? You talk to each other? How can we have the same mind? How do we live in harmony, huh?
Understand like how what they're coming from, like how they're feeling, like if you have an argument, like understand.
Understand where they're coming from. What else?
Try to relate.
Try to relate. If we're all believers, and we're all trying to have the same belief system, where do we go?
The Bible.
The Bible. So if we're all studying the Scripture and the Word of God, shouldn't we already be like-minded? Shouldn't we already believe the same way? Shouldn't we already have the same values? Shouldn't we already know that this is the way Christ would live, and so therefore I need to model my life after that? And so to be of the same mind isn't really as hard as it sounds if we're actually in the Word and we're in Scripture, because I know what you're going to think if you're a believer. You're in the Word, the same one I'm in, and as we read about brotherly love, we're going to share the same opinions on that. And we're going to have the same passion for sharing the gospel as each other, because the Word of God tells us that. And so as we start to have discord, it's because we're not agreeing on the Word that keeps us of the same mind. And we see how important that is for us to all get along as brothers and to love one another. That way, we need to be in the same Word. And then he says, be sympathetic. What's sympathetic? What's sympathy? Who knows?
Caring for other people, their needs.
Yeah.
Compassion,
which is actually another one on our list. Oh, look at that. They seem to be the same, right? I wonder why. Part of the X. That's cool. So that's going to relate with compassion. Good. Actually, the word sympathy, who can tell me what sympathy, how that breaks down? Anyone know how that means? Hmm? What?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
Like feeling sad for somebody?
Feeling, yeah. Feeling, and sim actually means with. So you feel with someone. You feel, understand them. You know what they're feeling and going through, because you take the time to minister in their lives. And so if I saw Clara every single day, and she was going through some major thing in her life, and I had no idea. Is that very sympathetic of me? Because I don't even take the time to get to know what type of things are going on in Clara's life. And I have the opportunity to see her every single day. And so sympathy says it's not just going, oh, I feel really bad for you when you're bummed out or whatever. I'm actually taking the time to go out of my way and do life with you, to know what's going on with you, to understand what I need to pray for, because I actually care about you. I have this thing called brotherly love that says it's more than just patting you on the back and be like, hey, have a good day, I'll send you a card. It's like, I'll be at the hospital with you when you're going through that. I'll know I need to be at the hospital because I'm making sure I stay in this pattern where I'm living life with you. And I feel like we come a lot and we do the Wednesday night thing, but how many of you could look around the room and tell me what's going on in each other's lives? Other than that, maybe I gossiped about that person and now they feel like trash. Like, I honestly, and I know I beat you guys a lot with the word. I know that. And it is rough coming every night and listening to that. We have a problem with brotherly love in this group. We have a problem in this group with loving each other. We have people who are hurting. We have other people who just make it worse. As believers in Christ that come here each week, I ask you, please, get into this word. Figure out what brotherly love is, because we need to do some work in that area, folks. We need to learn how to love each other. He goes on, he hits the most important thing we talked about, love his brothers. And then he says, be compassionate and humble. These are kind of things that show us what gets in the way of us loving each other. You've got to be humble. You have to care more about other people than yourself. And I'll tell you what, especially for this age group, it's hard to do. It's hard because you hurt yourself in a lot of areas and you're still adjusting to life in a lot of areas and trying to figure out what your identity is and what kind of self-worth you actually have. And so it's hard to focus on others when you're still trying to figure out who you are. I understand that. But the key is that Christ is our identity. And that as we learn to trust in Christ, we can be humble and put others first. And we could say, you know what? I don't really matter that much. Christ in me matters. The fact that I am a child of the King matters. The fact that He has done all of this to save my soul, and if He hadn't, my life would be worthless anyway. I'd be going to hell. Big deal if I have 50 years left on this planet, 80 years left on this planet. My eternity is going to be burning in hell without the God of the universe. So who cares? But because Christ has come along, because His amazing love for us and sees us so, so precious in His eyes, He's come along and changed us. He's given us life and given us an actual reason to live and go on. A worth. That makes us be able to respond now and say, your love and grace on me is enough that I can be humble and put other people first and actually reach out in love to my brothers and sisters and love with this brotherly love. That's brotherly love. And he takes it a step further. Because you remember, he's kind of picturing us going through this broken world, and it's not just going to be that easy to say, hey, let's all love each other and get along and hug. It's going to be tough. And so look at the next verse, what he says here. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Now let me tell you, I was reading this story the other day about, it was this guy, how many of you guys know who John Maxwell is? I mean, not John Maxwell, Max Lucado. Yeah? A lot of you guys do. He's a good storyteller. I like his stories. He wrote this one story I read. It was about this homeless guy, and he was traveling, and he's in like ripped clothes, and he stinks. Well, like me, right? And he's walking through this town, and it's like a southern town, but as he walks through, he notices up on this big hill, there's this gorgeous church sitting up there with a big cross in the steeple. And he's like, wow, what an impressive building. This place must really love their God. This must be a good place for me to stop and ask for some food. They've got to be nice here. So he goes up to the next house he sees. Big, beautiful white house, a picket fence all around the front, you know the type. And he walks up and knocks on the front door. That was amazing. Look, we have sound effects. We have the best sound effect man in the world. Thank you, Dave Crawford. Can someone open the door? Because I don't know what that is. I know, I'm a little nervous. I can't go on until I see who's at the door. Were they listening? Was it planned? Nope, wasn't. Alyssa, that's for you. We love you, Alyssa. Bye. Have a good night. A clap for Alyssa. Yeah, everybody. Thank you for the sound effect. Share that story of brotherly love with whoever that was. They need to know, maybe. I don't know. Maybe God sent them. Hey, that was neat. What?
And then someone screamed.
Huh? There's no one out there. All right, I'm going on. So anyway, listen. So there's this knock at the door. Okay, we're good now. We can keep going. He knocks at the door. This big southern guy answers the door. He comes out and he says, you know, hey, sir, I'm really sorry to impose. He said, I'm just traveling through and I don't have any food. Could you spare just like some table scraps or some bread or something just to fill my stomach up so I can keep traveling on? He says, okay, yeah, no problem. He says, just see that pathway, just kind of follow it around back and I'll meet you out back. So he goes out and he sits on the back steps and he waits. I hear his dishes banging around and stuff like that inside. And finally the door opens. This big guy comes back out through the doorway again. And he's got this big plate of food. And he gives it to him. He sits there on the steps and he's kind of sitting, eating off his lap. And he's eating the food. And they're kind of chatting. And they got to talking about church. And the homeless guy looks up and he says, yeah, I'm a believer too. I believe in Jesus. And so the big guy goes, hey, that's awesome. You know, you're a brother in Christ. And so the homeless guy looks back and he goes, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but could you not call me brother? And he's like, why not? He's like, well, how many of your brothers have to eat on the back steps when they come to eat a meal at your house? And I thought about that for a second. And I thought, you know what? It's easy to kind of go through the motions and look like you're really loving people. And you're really doing the right stuff. And you're getting involved in people's lives. But really what you're doing is just holding them off at a distance. And how important it is to invite these people into your life. That brotherly love isn't saying, I'm going to come up and kind of go through the motions and make it look like I'm loving you. And I'll do this stuff and everybody's going to say, wow, you gave him food. What a good guy. But if it's not for the heart, if we're not inviting these people that we're doing life with and say that we love so much into our lives to sit at our tables figuratively, is that love or is that just us patting ourselves on the back? Because it can get real, real easy to be stuck in that first category where you're making them sit in the back steps and just enjoying the fact that you did a good deed. Are we willing to go that extra step and say, look, I love you. You come in my house. You sit at my table. And I don't just mean feeding the homeless person at your house. Right? Your parents would be freaked out. You're inviting all these weird people in your house. I'm not saying that. You're not even 18. Listen, in your life, you can use that truth. Are we holding people at a distance or are we just trying to go through the motions? Peter takes it up a notch from there and he says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. So as we're sliding down this ski slope, this broken world, and people are just gossiping about us and spreading lies and tearing you up and using their tongues to insult you and be insidious with you and just make your life miserable, and you have to put up with that every single day. You know what Peter tells you to do? As their mouth is just full of this garbage, just tearing you down all the time. Look what he tells us to do. He says, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing. So as they insult you and use their mouths to do whatever that evil they can do to you, you're called to bless them. And the word blessing there means it's from two things. It means good word. We should be going around spreading good words. It's from the word eulogy. When you're at a funeral, you give this eulogy about the person who died. It means you give this speech just honoring them and talking great about them and lifting them up. So as they walk around and insult you and pour all this evil on you, we are called to go around and talk about how good they are. And lift them up. I can't even fathom that. The other way that Peter uses this word blessing, look down. He says, because this, to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. What's the blessing that we will inherit as believers in Jesus Christ? Eternal life. So not only are we supposed to go around and lift these people up who are tearing us down all the time, we're called, he said, your mission is to go take this gospel of eternal life, of salvation through Jesus Christ and forgiveness to the very same people who are hurling insults at you. I'm supposed to lift you up and share the message of hope to you as you basically verbally spit in my face and call me trash. I'm supposed to tell you how worthy you are of eternal life through Jesus Christ. How? And he says, it's not a suggestion. You are called to do this. Who can tell me what our mission statement is here? Look at a leader's shirt. Love God, love people, and go into the world. Do you know where that mission statement comes from? The Great Commission and the Greatest Commandment. Straight from the Bible. Our mission, our calling as believers in Jesus Christ is threefold. We're to love God, love people, and go into the world. And Peter is telling us, you are called to do this, not just when it's easy and not just to the people that you can have come run up to you thankful for whatever you're handing out and give you a big hug. I've been on mission trips where it's easy to walk up into a poor village and the people love you so much and they're so thankful for the gifts you're given that they just hug on you and they want to hear the gospel and it's awesome. That's such a blessing. Like, it's one of the best times of your life if you're ever there. But we're not just called to that. We're called so that even when people spit in your face and don't want to hear the gospel, and it's very, very difficult to do, and they would rather kill you than hear this message, we're supposed to bring blessing to them. Peter's saying, pretty much, our lives don't matter in comparison to the gospel, because it's already saved our lives. Now we are free to live it, to serve other people. And that freedom is amazing in Jesus Christ. Look at the very end. He says, so that you may inherit a blessing. Our very inheritance is the same blessing that we should go out sharing with other people. So grateful of what Christ did for us that drives us to go tell other people about it. And look, this last verse, these last couple verses, 10 to 12, that Peter's going to share with us is going to back up the statement. So peek at it real quick. It says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And he's quoting here Psalm chapter 34. And it sounds a lot like he's saying, you've got to work really, really hard so you can earn your salvation. Because only people who do good and seek peace are going to see the salvation we're talking about. Because God hates evil. And so you got to work really hard and do good so that you can please God and get His blessing. What Peter's actually saying here is backing up his previous statement. If you truly have experienced this life that He's given you, these things are necessary evidence in your life. He says, we can't just sit there and say, yes, I've been redeemed by Christ. I'm a believer in Jesus, but my life has not changed, and I still hate people, and evil still pours out of my lips, and amongst my own family, believers in Christ, all I can do is bully and spew out gossip and rumors and trash about people that I'm supposed to love and be family with. He says, no, this evidence of extreme love will show up in you. And beware if it doesn't, because there's nothing else I can tell you. I don't know how another way to phrase this, and I don't want to make it all frilly and pearly pretty for you. I want you to know that evidence of salvation should show up in your life. If you claim that you believe in Christ and He's changed you, that means you're changed. There's a difference now. And if there's not, I don't know what to tell you. That's something that you need to go before the God of creation and take serious enough to sit down and say, God, let's work this out. I need to know. I need to see the fruit in my life. Give me fruit. Make this change in me so I can see the evidence of you in me. Because if not, I can't know. And I don't say this to make you doubt your salvation, but Peter is pretty clear. People who have experienced the love of Christ and have been changed live differently. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means there is now this longing inside of you to be like your Maker. And as you mess up, you keep getting back up and just running after Him because there's something different about you. It's no fun just to be in a Christian club, guys. The world has a lot more fun in their clubs. Let's just be honest. It's going to be about more than that to us. It's going to be about a life change where the most important thing in all of our lives is our minds are the same that we talked about, is because Christ is the central piece of it and He's everything to us. And that's why we are here. That's our reason for being in this room, because Christ is everything to us. And if He is, we're going to be different. Will you pray with me? Christ, just as I speak these words, Lord, I just feel this tremendous weight to know the gospel in my own life, God. What that means to each of us as we claim your Son and His blood, that it's not some light thing we talk about, it's everything. Everything revolves around Jesus Christ, the Maker and Sustainer of heaven and earth. Guard us, God. Protect us from taking His word lightly. Protect us from taking His blood and His sacrifice lightly. God, well up inside of us that we would act differently. That we would love you with everything we are. That we would love other people more than ourselves. And that we would take your word into this world because it means so much to us. God, show each person in this room how much you love them, God. Saturate them with your love. Change our hearts. We love you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.